Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. We're going to veer off from our study of the life of David this morning, and we're going to talk about Jesus. You know, I was preparing last week, and I've had an overwhelming urge or an overwhelming desire just to talk about Jesus. And so we're going to focus for the next 4 weeks until Easter Sunday. We're going to focus on Jesus as He comes to that point where He gives His life as a sacrifice for us, as He's buried, as He rises from the grave. That's the Easter Sunday sermon. But today, we're going to be in Matthew 26, verse 36. We'll be looking also back at the life of David the first Sunday after Easter. All right? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 36 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that would be, of course, James and John, "and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it be possible," or "if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will.' Then He came to His disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time He went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done.' And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. So He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then He came to His disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank You so much for what You did for us on the cross. Lord, we do anything without Your sacrifice. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know the Savior, I ask You to just commit their hearts to trust You. And Lord, we would pray that help them preach Your word boldly so that we can be a changing light for this people in our community. And they'll sleep with us, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, I want to start out with encouraging you to see Jesus as He is in this garden setting. You know, we know Jesus was the Son of God. We know He was God in the flesh, right? Sometimes we forget the humanity of Jesus, all right? He was also the Son of Man. He was flesh and blood. And so as we prepare for this garden scene, I want you to consider Jesus' humanity. I want you to consider Jesus at this point is in bad shape. He describes Himself as being so sorrowful, or being sorrowful even unto death. That's sorrowful. I have heard of people dying of a broken heart. Have you heard that? Yeah. And I think Jesus is at that point. He's emotionally broken. The pain that He's enduring as the cross and His time of passion, His trial, as that draws near, the pain on the inside is growing to just a point where it's overwhelming. And at this point, Jesus has two desperate needs. That first need is a need for prayer. Jesus, as I said, deeply distressed. He enters the garden with His disciples, the Garden of Gethsemane with His disciples, and He instructs them to stay and wait for Him. He actually leaves two groups, okay? The whole group enters into the garden. He tells them, y'all stay here and wait, and then He takes three of His disciples. Peter, James, and John. And He's facing the cross, unbelievable human suffering, separation. Yes, separation from His God, from the Heavenly Father. I want to tell you, it's overwhelming. Jesus, you realize, bore the sorrow, the grief of the sin of every man, boy and girl. That's the overwhelming part. Let me ask you, have you ever felt guilty because you did something wrong? I have. We all have. You ever, you know, as a matter of fact, I look at this and I think, wow, if my own sin brings me guilt, I don't want to feel guilty for your sin. You know? I don't want to share the weight of your sin. And it's not a selfish thing. But I've got enough of my own. You know what I'm saying? But imagine, if you will, bearing the grief and the sorrow for your sin. For everyone's sin over here. And everyone's sin over here. And everyone's sin in the middle. That's a lot of sorrow. But we're going to include the people in the balcony today. Let's add to that the people in the city of Russellville, the state of Arkansas, the United States of America, and every man, woman, boy, and girl throughout the world. Jesus took it on Himself. That's what it's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, listen, as Jesus is ready to take the sin of the world upon Himself, He's ready to carry that load. That load is overwhelming, and He's struck. I've got to pray. Have you ever been to that point? I've got to pray. I just can't take this anymore. I've got to get on my knees and pour my heart out to God. That's what Jesus is dealing with. And if you've never been to that point, I suggest it'd be good for you to be at that point. Okay? Jesus had that desperate need to pour His heart out to His Heavenly Father. He also had a desperate need for His friends. As I said, they enter into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he starts out with the 11. The only one that's not with them is Judas, and he's gone to be the betrayer. They enter into the garden, and he tells eight of them, y'all stop here. Well, actually, he tells all of them, y'all stop here. You wait here, I've got to go pray. And then he calls his inner circle. Peter, James, and John. These are the guys that were there on the Mount of Transfiguration. These were the guys that were there at the healing of Jairus' daughters. These were the guys. His go-to guys. He says, you guys come with me. He, Peter, James, and John. They go out a little farther. Luke talks about it being a stone's throw. And once he goes out, he shares with them again, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. But look what it says in verse 38. It says, stay here with me. Stay here and watch with me. The key word here is with me. You know what that means? The Greek means the same thing the English does. To be in the company of. At the side of. If you'll notice verse 39, he went a little farther. Okay? And he prayed. Now, Luke says he went a stone's throw. I tend to think he as they entered the garden, he told the eight, y'all stay here. Then he takes the other three and goes a stone's throw. And he shares with them, guys, I'm dying. I'm hurting. Stay here. Watch with me. Pray with me. Then he goes, it says, a little farther. That word little in the Greek means insignificant. I interpret that to mean he took just a few steps away from him, from them, and he hit his knees. And see, here's the part. I always envision Jesus saying, "You guys stay here," and he goes out of sight to be alone, but he's not. I truly believe that these three guys, Peter, James, and John, could not only see Jesus, but they could hear Jesus as he's pouring out his heart to God. And that's what it means to be in the company of. And these guys are here witnessing as Jesus is just an emotional wreck, for lack of a better way to put it. And what should they be doing? Listen. As I read this, I thought, and I guess it never struck me this time like it did or before as it did this time. Jesus not only felt a need, I've got to talk to my Father, but he felt a need to have friends by his side talking to his Father with him. Have you ever thought how important friends are as prayer partners? I want to tell you, if Jesus needed prayer partners at this point, don't you think you and I need prayer partners? People that we know who will bring our burdens before the Lord. People that we can look in the eye, close the doors and say, "Listen, will you pray with this? Pray about this for me and pray with me about this." Do you realize the power of prayer? You see, when we can't change something, we do know the address or the phone number of the one who can. And that's what I want you to get today. Jesus had this need for prayer and this need to spend time with friends and pray together. And if Jesus needs it, you do too. So I want to, at this point in the message, I want to encourage you, if you don't have a prayer friend, a prayer partner as it's called today, get you one. Because you're going to be one of these days, you will find yourself overwhelmed with the burdens of the world. Overwhelmed with life. It may be just personal struggle or loss of loved one. It may be kids out of control. It may be temptation, whatever. But you need people that you can count on. You can look in the eye and say, "Pray with me." And if somebody does you the honor of saying, "Will you be my prayer partner?" You tell them yes. You tell them yes. I think that's the most neglected tool that we have in our arsenal today. It's prayer. We go on. If Jesus needed it, so do we. And we look at Jesus' passion. Oh, he's got his disciples there and it goes out a little farther and he hits his knees and he cries out, "Oh, my Father." That word Father, the Greek word is Abba. And Abba is what a small child or what a child would have called their father. It is a address of respect and dependence. Have you ever seen, we all have, there's nothing more precious than to see a little child, 2, 3, say, "Daddy, Daddy, Mom." You just see the love and that's what Jesus, he hits his knees and he cries out, "Dad." That's the English equivalent. "Dad, I need you. Father, I need you now. And he cries out, his prayer is, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus, I want you to understand, Jesus did not want to be crucified. That was not on his bucket list of things to do. All right? Now, that was the mission that was set before him. That's what he had to do. But I want you to know, he did not go to the cross of Calvary saying, "Yee-haw, isn't this great?" He did not. I want you to see the passion before, but as he's in the garden, he's calling out to his Father, Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus here is asking, is there another way? Dad, as I consider taking the sin of the world upon myself, is there another way? He's not rejecting, he's not denying, he's not saying, I'm not going to do it. But he is in the flesh. Okay? And as the weight of the sin of the world and the mission that lies before him begins to press upon him, he's doing as anyone would do. Lord, is there another way? Is there hope for mankind in something else? Can we attain the salvation of man by some other means? You know what the answer was? The answer was no. Can you imagine God the Father telling His Son, no? Has God ever told you no? I've known people before who at certain times would think, well, God, why don't you answer my prayer? God, why didn't you answer it the way I thought? Because God knows. And God knew, as His Son Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He knew that man had been lost to sin because of the sin of one man. Therefore, man had to be redeemed from sin by the victory of man. Does that make sense? Let's read Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Do you know why you have a sin nature? Because you're a descendant of Adam. Okay? And because of that heritage that Adam handed down, you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you have to deal with that sin. And God's giving away. God had to come up with a way for you to be delivered from that sin, since you were delivered into sin by man, Adam. The only way you can be delivered out of sin is by one man's obedience. You know who that one man is? It's Jesus Christ. You start to see the pain. There is no other way but that the Son of God would carry upon himself your sin and my sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as he realizes this, we see a submissive surrender. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. It's one thing to die for a cause. A lot of people have done that. But it's another to die, to be separated from God as the Son of God. There, as Jesus bore the sin of mankind upon the cross of Calvary. And you know the story, and we will be covering it in a couple of weeks. How he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, as they call it. As he was mocked and they wagged their head and made fun of him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they took him down to a place called the place of the skull. Hung him on a tree, a cross. And they did all that for you. And they'd walk by and wag their heads and say, he believed in God. Let God save him if he'll have him. All the while, this is what lies ahead for Jesus. And Jesus knows it. You know how he knows it? Have you ever read Psalms 22? I mean, it's a blow-by-blow. It is a blow-by-blow experience of what Calvary was 2,000 years before it occurred. There in Psalms 22, before, 2,000 years before Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night season, I'm not silent, but you are holy and enthroned in the praises of Israel. Then we go on down. Verse 8, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. It goes on, blow by blow of Calvary, 2,000 years before it happened. You wonder why Jesus cried out upon the cross of Calvary, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, God did turn away from Jesus as he bore the sin of the world. But I want you to know Jesus was hanging on that cross, quoting the Word of God, Psalms 22. All you got was the first verse. I believed he finished it. Finished it. You know, Psalms 22, you read that entire passage. It's not all about the dogs that had surrounded him and they pierced my hands and my feet and they divided my garments. See, in the last part of verse 21, it says, you have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. And it goes on and it declares the victory that was gained on the cross of Calvary. Oh, but I want you to see. I want you to see the pain. Jesus knowing what's coming. But I also want you to see the surrender. Father, I'll do what needs to be done. Then we come down to being willing or to being weak. And we start with what Jesus went through there, the power of his prayer. Yes, Jesus, having prayed, poured out his heart to God, and that first time he says, amen, and then he gets up and turns back to his disciples and his inner circle, the guys he's supposed to be counting on, they're asleep. They're asleep. Can you imagine? These are my prayer partners. These are the guys I count on. I'm pouring my heart out to God. They can hear me pour my heart out to God. I come back and they're asleep. He says, what are you doing? Watch and pray. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Stay awake for 1 hour? He tells him, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Then he goes back and prays again. Same prayer. Then he comes back and guess what these three men of faith are doing? They're sleeping. Have you ever went to sleep as you prayed? I don't know. Sometimes I attribute that to a calmness that abides in the Lord. And sometimes I contribute that to a laziness that abides in me. Yeah, these guys were tired. Third time Jesus comes back. And he finds them asleep again. But I want to tell you something happened as Jesus prayed in that garden. Something happened. Luke 22 verse 43, it tells us what happened. Matthew doesn't share this, but Luke does. And it says, and an angel appeared and strengthened him. I want you to see the difference in Jesus is when we started and his soul was sorrowful to death and he's just overwhelmed with grief. But in the last part of what we read, and he comes back that third time saying, you guys still sleeping? Come on, get up. Get up. The time is at hand. My betrayer is at hand. Rise, let's be going. It is a completely different attitude. Why? Because he got on his knees, a broken man. He got off his knees, a strengthened servant of his heavenly Father. See, that's what happens in prayer. That's what happens when you know where to turn. Jesus entered the garden overwhelmed with grief, and he left overpowered with the strength of the Lord. You want to know, when he first entered the garden, he would not have been able to go through everything that he suffered. But when he left the garden, he was ready. You see, that's what prayer does. That's what pouring out your... How many have burdens today? Would you raise your hand? Amen. We all do. Have you poured your heart out to God about the burden? Have you come to your prayer partners? And I'm not saying you get 10, 12, 15. I'm saying get a couple guys, a couple ladies that you know you can count on to pray. And go to it. It will change things. It may not change the events, but I'll tell you what it will do. It will change you so that you can endure the events that keeps coming up in your face. Yeah? When Jesus said, He told them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. That word enter means to fall into. The idea is Jesus not only needed friends to support Him, He knew what those guys were facing. And they slept as Jesus prayed. They got up, they left, they got up and they went to meet the other disciples, and there old Judas was. They start to arrest Jesus. Oh, Judas whirls that sword, cuts off the ear of the high priest. He said, No. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Don't put it up. I can call legions of angels and they'll deliver me. I bet that broke old Peter's heart at that point, don't you? What do you mean, Jesus? Can I fight for it? No. No. Then they arrested Jesus, and you know what? It says that the disciples fled. You know why they fled? Because they couldn't pray when they had the time to pray beforehand. Later that night, Peter is approached and said, you're one of them. No, not me. Yes, you are one of them. No, not me. Finally, a third time he was approached. You're one of them. Your speech gives you away. No, not me. And he began to curse and utter failure. You know why he failed? Because instead of praying, he was sleeping. What I want you to get, it says the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, for God's people, we never start out to fail spiritually, do we? We don't. But why do we fail spiritually? Because we do not prepare to fight the battles, the supernatural battles, with supernatural power. Here's what you need to know. How you conduct yourself. And if you write anything down, write this down. Okay? How you conduct yourself in the garden of prayer will determine how you will stand in the hour of temptation. Does that make sense? The challenge. We've got to become prayer warriors. Because we are fighting a battle that is not an easy fight. A battle that we cannot fight in the flesh. It has to be fought on a spiritual level. What's it going to take? It's going to take people praying. For example, This building ministry that we've got coming up, Brother Greg was talking about. Folks, I'm excited. I'm excited. God's blessing the church. And you know what? God is giving us the opportunity and the privilege to be a part of it. But before we remove the first nail or dig the first shovel of dirt, there's got to be some prayer warriors pouring out their heart to God. Because God is blessing this church. And I promise you this, there are some spiritual battles down the way that we're going to have to face as God's people. And we better be ready to face them. Okay? Why? Because Satan doesn't like victory very much. Why? Because people are being saved. Lives are being changed. The gospel is being preached, and families are growing to the glory of God. Okay? Good things are happening. We need prayer warriors. Not only as a church, but as individuals. There are families here today that are hurting. They're hurting. Families that don't know, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this kind of hurt. I can't do anything about this. It's beyond my power. The good news is, God is still God, and what you can't do anything about is no problem for God. Okay? Got to be a prayer warrior. Get your prayer partner and get with it. Okay? Because the good news is, even if God does not change the circumstances, even if God doesn't change what's going on that's just killing your soul, He'll change you and enable you to glorify Him as you go through that battle. Friends, today, it's all about Jesus. Okay? All about Jesus. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? If not, you're fighting the battle by yourself. Don't do it. Jesus went through all this so that you could have eternal life. Are you saved? If not, I want to invite you to come as we have this invitation. And let me show you how to be saved. Maybe you're here and boy, you're fighting a battle and it's overwhelming. And boy, you just don't know how you're going to make it. Make it on your knees. Start at this altar. Okay? Use the altar. Sometimes I think, well, I know. Sometimes we get embarrassed because we go to the altar. I'm going to tell you, that's not an embarrassing thing. That's an encouraging thing. Maybe there's another knee. Church membership. Follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Whatever you are led to do by Jesus Christ today, I would just ask you to respond as God's Spirit moves within you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Oh Lord, we look to You for guidance. We look to You for encouragement. We look to You for power to face the temptations of this world that Satan throws our way. Father, we need You. There are people in this service who are overwhelmed today. Lord, we turn to You. There are people who need to follow You in baptism. There are those who need to follow You, rededicate their lives, turn themselves back to You. And there are those who just need to spend time with You on their knees. So now, Lord, I just pray that You move freely among us. And that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.